All it does is move forward into another priest, just as a culpable mental state.
Yeah.
Includes intentionally or knowingly or recklessly or criminal negligence.
Yeah, I'm satisfied.
And then we go into the next section and say what the...
I'm satisfied.
Okay, is that any question?
Probably more than you have to start.
Well, I guess you may remember I was questioning before on the... And it's something that I'll say, that 6, 7, 8, and 9, it comes to that mental state. They go back and refer to conduct, each one of them.
Right.
And I would not mention this inclusion of that package of 6, 7, 8, to put it in there. I think we could, if we wish to engage ourselves with this task, place all of that in form by inserting these terms there, intentionally and intent, as we go on to describe conduct, and in 7, and knowing we do the same.
Aye.
That's what
we're
saying, but I think it's only confusing the
issue. I think we run into a hang-up when we look over in section 2. I think
section 2. One is a conduct and the other is a state of mind. And we've got to find both of them.
I say let's accept it.
Okay, well, let's get into intentionally.
Okay, I think this, Mr. Chairman, I think that all of these culpable definitions, culpability definitions, make more sense as we read them in context with the rest of the argument.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a little hard to discuss them abstractly, but I would like to say this about these definitions of intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, and with criminal negligence. These are the same in substance as what you had in preliminary draft number 1. And the rationale is the same in all of them. The same as we had in preliminary draft number 1, the same as California has in its draft. That was the one that Courtney based his definitions on. The same as model penal code in New York. The language is a little different. I want to point this out to you, that Courtney used conduct and result thereof. And that related then back to his section 1, which talks about the material elements of the crime. Now also, he didn't use the language that I have in here, conduct described by a statute defining the crime. Now this comes from New York, and I think it's important that we're talking about an act in relation to a statute. Criminal standard, and that we're talking about a certain kind of conduct that is set forth in a criminal standard. I think it serves to clarify these definitions, each of these four definitions. Now, I've also used the language, in some places here I use offense, and when I use offense, I've had a reason, but in all of these definitions, these four definitions, I use the language conduct describing crime, because this is what we're talking about basically. Now, offense would include a crime, but it would also include a violation, which under our earlier classification of crime draft would not amount to a crime. But for the purposes of culpability, when it comes to violation, we don't need culpability elements anyway. So why use offense? You know, we're talking about a crime. But there are one or two places where I did use offense, and I cover that in the beginning, but I want to point that out that there is some difference here between my definitions and Courtney's. I think the rationale behind all these, the kind of conduct we're talking about, the same. Mm-hmm. He acts consciously with respect to certain conduct.
Courtney uses too many colors. Don doesn't use enough.
John, I kind of like the open punctuation.
I noticed that this occasion was only a long sentence. Number 9, recklessly violated.
Well, yeah. Well, I think you're telling me that it's hard to
Well, I didn't want to point that out at this point, then we go on.
So you think it's appropriate that we dissect the things we're doing in the next case at this point?
I think it's really going on, but you might want to go ahead and I did want to find one other thing that's on, and that is knowingly I changed quite a bit. Courtney followed the California and the model penal code approach with respect to knowingly. His definition, and he had really a two-pronged definition. He had a person acting knowingly or with knowledge with respect to his conduct or to his intended circumstances when he is aware of the nature of his conduct or that those circumstances exist. And then he goes on to say a person acts knowingly with respect to a result of his conduct and he is aware of his conduct. Practices shouldn't cause that result. I've eliminated that. Small reason. I think
you read the minutes of December meeting. That's what you did.
Well, that was one idea. That was rather persuasive of my thinking on this. But New York, I think, hit the nail on the head in their commentary, and they said that really, with respect to knowing, that when you're talking about a result of them, that there isn't that much difference between intentionally and knowing. And that it's really a question of semantics more than anything else. And they mentioned that under the formulations of the Model Penal Code and the Illinois Code, knowingly is in one phase almost synonymous with intent, and that's the phase I just read to you. And that a person achieves a given result knowingly when he's practicing certain conduct will cause that result. This distinction between knowingly and intentionally in that context is very highly technical. And the revised penal law does not employ the word knowingly in defining the result of intentionally. Murder of the common law variety, for example, is committed intentionally or not at all. There's really not that much distinction between intentionally and knowingly, except there is a distinction with respect to conduct, but not the result of conduct. And also with respect to the circumstance of the statute might be trying. In any event, I felt that it was having him in just confused. So I followed New York on it rather than Illinois and Model Penal Code. Okay, well, in section 2, I set out the minimum requirements of culpability. And I really wanted to go through those again or not. Under sub 1, I say that performance of conduct, voluntary act, or making something that he's physically capable of performing. And from there we build on it. And then except as provided in subsection 3, which is really a strict liability type offenses. The person is not guilty of a crime. And here I use crime again rather than offense.
That's to keep from having to go back to say intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, negligently, and so forth.
With respect to these material downward crimes. Well, if manual is a material element of the crime, you have to have a culpable mental state.
I don't think so. And of course, the Model Penal Code defines element of the crime as including this kind of thing. Material element doesn't include any of the jurisdictional aspects.
Well, for instance, the material element of the certain friends might be if you're 18 years old. It has nothing to do with the mental state.
He has been negligent to be 18 years old. Or under 18.
Well, you don't define material element anywhere, do you, Doc?
Well, I didn't say here, unless we act with a couple of mental states with respect to these material element of crime.
And if I define material element the way the model penal code does, I don't think it would help it.
Well, this is what you mean to say, unless we act with a couple of mental states with respect to each element of crime to which his mental state is material. But there are some elements of many crimes, and it doesn't matter what his mental state is, the sum of the elements.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But there is no crime that doesn't include a mental state in the elements.
Does existing law have any reference whatsoever to what we're doing? No.
None.
Except for the definition itself, we have indefinite intention and whatnot.
We don't have a culpability in the cause by law.
Right.
Well, now, purposely, knowingly, recklessly, or negligently causing the death of another human being. And criminal homicide is murder, manslaughter, or negligent homicide. And then they go on to define murder. Criminal homicide constitutes murder when it is committed purposely or knowingly, or recklessly under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life.
Well, they make murder then, per se, becomes their highest grade of killing somebody else.
As it was a common law, yeah.
Yeah,
and law was just
worked down from there. And
they don't
have murder in 3 degrees or as we do now.
They don't say anything about malice of forethought.
I'm not so sure that's particularly a good idea. I mean, I kind of like to extend the definition that we have.
I think.
Or at least we've grown up with it and sort of hard to think of the concept of our murder statutes without that concept.
I think that, of course, one of those is not a bad idea, though. That's one of the things that really a lot of your commentators and writers criticize the most. And this is one of the things that the model human code was really zeroed in on. The terminology different than that, malice and human code.
Well, it's pretty easy, though, to define the difference between first and second degree.
It's awful hard to understand the difference without that.
Well, yeah, that's exactly.
Well, but what they do is, don't have first degree and second degree. You have murder, which is first degree by their definition, or some other crime, which is no longer murder. Unless you've intended to kill somebody.
Well, that was the way it was done in the old common law, but all of them were punishable by death.
But historically.
But now none of them are punishable by death.
Yeah.
Historically, we've evolved to the point where the society considers murder by degree. And,
well, the law considers murder by degree. Right. I'm not sure society considers it.
Oh, I think society.
I don't think so. Again, we're down to the average juror, and he has a. It's kind of horrifying to him in some respects to call a thing murder and then say, but this is less murderous than another kind of murder. I think it's easier to say this is murder and this is manslaughter and this is something else.
Well,
first of all, now's the time, I suppose, if, well, we're defining culpability definitions, if we're going to later on want something that says something about malice in it, we're going to need it in these definitions.
Well, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I went back and opened up on those
things. Boy, I tell you, we're swimming upstream with, I think, on this. If they're all pointing towards simplification of culpability and getting rid of terms like wantonly and maliciously and things like that, and sticking with four basic terms, intentionally, recklessly.
Well, and when we had the discussion about this, or this particularly brought it home to me, is where we were talking about malicious destruction. We've done away with that, we've gone to criminal mischief, right? And we've covered a myriad of crimes that presently exist, and I'm thinking here we are, criminal mischief, we talk in terms of it intentionally and recklessly, not maliciously. So I particularly remember then that we really kind of, well, we made a basic policy decision.
Of course, you could do this on the structure of the code. If you get to one specific crime, and that's the only place you're going to use the term, we can define it for the purposes of that one crime.
Yeah,
and you can always.
Oh, sure. That's right. That's true.
Yeah. I think that maybe that's what we ought to do, consider this within itself.
Okay.
And let's, just for the fun of it, look at number 7 and 8, 9, 10, look at Don's definition. So that we can take this to the national section 1. Intentionally, or with intent, means that with respect to a result or to conduct described by a statute defining a crime, a person acts with a conscious objective to cause that result or to engage in that conduct. Now, that's intentional.
No.
That's a pretty malicious definition. First question, though, I've been looking in here, trying to find some of the other terms throughout the code, and your form has differed
from the form that Courtney employed, where he said a person acts recklessly or is reckless. et cetera, et cetera, if he does such and such. And you just start out always for that. And I think we have to use this as a successful form. And is this
Well, I don't think it's inconsistent if we adopt our draft number two rather than number one. In other words, we won't be keeping any number one.
No, but I'm talking about the way you put your form. You follow me?
No, I don't.
All right. Okay. No, I think you're consistent.
In other words, I think the legislative council office would agree with me on this, but as far as definitions are concerned, it's good draftsmanship, send out the definitions, in quotes, and say, these words in quotes mean this.
Right, and that's what you did, except in those cases where you say a building includes but is not limited to.
Well, there were cases where the subcommittee wanted a certain language
that just didn't fit the urban.
Right, so that it wouldn't be limited.
All right.
And if you don't want to limit it, then you use inclusion, and that's perfectly fine.
As long as we got my salary and my airplane in that, we were all right.
Yeah. In other words, we used inclusion in those places where we thought, well, we might have left out something. We didn't want to make it too precise.
All right. All right, well, how about this now? We're on seven, on the definition of intent. No?
Just like John, you can't leave for 20 minutes and come back and find that you don't.
Right. Well, I don't think it's going to take very much time.
Oh.
In the back.
No, I'm
not. In the back for a new draft. The person acts intentionally. Well, I was just looking at the court news or definition.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the standard is we get down in each case to about two words, seven intensely, means a conscious objective.
To cause a result or
yeah,
to
achieve. But I mean, we've got the same knowingly or knowledge is an awareness. And that's what we mean by knowingly or not. The rest of it is verbiage to fill the legal gap.
Well,
it means that somebody consciously disregards a substantial and unjustifiable risk. Criminally negligent means you fail to be aware of substantial and unjustifiable risk.
Well, why do we say in knowingly, recklessly, and criminally negligent, why do we couple that with respect to a result or a circumstance, whereas, insofar as intentionally is concerned, we say with respect to a result or to conduct? Well,
what we're really doing here, going back to what poor Courtney was trying to do in section 11.
Oh, no, I don't think it's
different, easier, and I agree, easier to understand form.
Well, you know, of course, in a way, this all ties with number one, which in turn then is tied on with what I put over here in section two. These are all interrelated, no question about that, but with respect to intention, the intent that a person can have is means what? Well, an intent to do something, to do specifically something that's prohibited by statute, to cause a result, to intentionally intentionally harm an individual, intentionally
deprive a person of his property, whatever it happens to be, if you intend to steal, or you intend to damage his property.
This is New York, part and parcel.
Yeah. And,
this is right square out of here.
Yeah, and of course, that, it isn't really that much different, than what California has, where, and that's where Courtney would derive his draft is from California. And I submit that there's not that much difference because he says a person acts intentionally with respect to his conduct or to a result thereof when it is his conscious objective or his conscious purpose to engage in conduct that causes the result.
Where did he get his? Out of his head?
California.
I see.
You know, would you believe it? I like this definition better.
Well, this is a clumsy sentence.
Number 7 is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Kenny Perkins used enough comments to make sense out of his sentence. None.
I like Don's structuring of it better, where you say intentionally moved, but I like the manner in which his sentence reads.
Of course, that's one of the problems. If you use intentionally means, then you get hung up on the way that you state the balance of it.
And I think it has to be intentionally means, knowingly means.
I think so.
In order to render logic or freedom to subsist.
You start out and say a person acts with respect to something, and
right.
You're getting in trouble.
But I think this, I think when we're talking about an intent to do something, that the intent has to be related, when we're talking about conduct, it has to be related to specific conduct from a statute. And I'm not saying that he has to intend to violate the statute, I don't mean that. I mean, he has to intentionally do something that is prohibited
by statute.
That's what we're talking about. That's
yeah,
point.
But intentionally is not necessarily or intent.
It's a
criminal.
Oh, sure. It says,
by
statute, defining
the crime. In 6, you see, it's intentionally, as those terms are defined in section
7, 8, 9, 10.
Described or proscribed?
No, it's described.
All right, but would it be properly proscribed?
Well, it would as long as omission is a failure to perform. It described is fine here.
So that's a defining sentence. A person acts with a conscious objective to cause that result or to engage in that conduct. With regard to the result or with regard to the conduct, you act with conscious objective of causing that result or engaging in that conduct. So that's intentional.
But act includes omission. So
We're okay.
Well,
I don't like it particularly, but I can't, you know, he's really got something going by having these afternoon meetings, and they keep skipping them all the time.
Mr. Chairman, I may point out that 7 minutes is only a block.
You can't get in or out?
No, we can get out. The switchboard was on 5-2, we kept calling out.
You can't call for help.
Are you sure we can get out?
Oh, I think so. Yes.
I didn't tell you the world's funniest story. Doesn't need to go on the minute.
What would it do to this? Stress all that afternoon with that intentionally, or with intent meaning to act with a conscious objective to cause a result. Would this destroy or do loss the whole?
Or to engage in conduct?
Well, it is.
says violence because you don't really, you don't relate it to a criminal act.
Yeah, but you got to say that it's related to something that's a crime.
Yeah, and all of the end proves the mental state. The accomplishment of the result proves the mental state, which is the guy might not have had that mental state, even though the result occurred.
In other words, if we would say, well, we had criminal mischief there, for example. Criminal mischief in the first degree. A person commits a crime of criminal mischief in the first degree. It was intent to damage property. Now, in that context, the intent means that he had a conscious objective to damage property. That would be the result. And it could also be that conduct. Well, so it's related to a specific statutory crime.
Well, it has to be related to crime, and therefore maybe the duplication here is do that. We could put conduct in here too, maybe instead of tagging it on the thing. That would cost us a or a conflict to call a result or an unlawful result. If you have to have criminal commission,
well, with respect to preliminary draft number one, unless I'm overlooking something, which is very possible, I don't think in substance these are much different. In fact, I don't think in substance they're any different from preliminary draft number one, which I think is subcommittee general itself was the direction you wanted to go with respect to the definition. Well, I don't think they are, it doesn't know. Well, let me ask this. So, Bob, you have to leave. Do we have your vote to make changes in sub 2 and sub 3 that we already discussed? And we need the rest of the same 4, 5, 6. And now, what's your thought with respect to the definitions of 6, 7, 8, 9, or 7, 9, and 10?
Well, I think they're pretty clear definitions.
In substance, they're pretty much the same as Courtney said, and they're based upon New York and
lots of pre-revising organizations that have come to the same general conclusion.
Right.
I don't know who started it all.
Well, then, so if we, in our wisdom, stay with pretty much what Don has done, we have your vote on it. Okay. Before you leave, you talked about the next subcommittee.
No, I haven't.
Maybe we can talk off the record and say, hey.
That's where they'd be if they believe in comments from me.
What really knows him?
Well, knowingly, or with knowledge means that comments. With respect to conduct or to a circumstance described by the statute defining a crime of conduct, now here's what it means. A person acts with an awareness that his conduct is of that nature or in what nature? What's that? The word that in person.
No,
and I'm only suggesting on comments to talk about it easier.
How about aiding to that?
What's the aim we bring to them?
Knowingly or with knowledge means that with respect to conduct or to a circumstance described by a statute defining a crime.
That with respect to conduct described by a statute defining a crime, a person acts with an awareness that his conduct is of the nature described in the statute defining crime, so we're saying
that's why you say.
Yeah, I guess.
Conduct is of the nature described by the statute defining the crime. Right?
Mm-hmm. Or that the circumstance described by the statute defining the crime is this. Yeah, I have no objection to that. Get it out of my head.
Would it be better if we put something in this mean that a person acts with awareness of their conduct that it is of a nature or a circumstance that relates to or is described by a statute defining a crime?
Isn't that what it says now?
Well, yes, it does. Say that if people go right to the problem that we just had.
Well, it took me a lot of reading to get it, I'll admit.
Well, the present code says, knowingly, importantly, and knowledge of the facts exist, which bring the act and the omission within the provisions of the criminal statute, does not require any knowledge of the unlawfulness of the act or omission. Now, knowingly, as it's presently used, doesn't require a knowledge of the unlawfulness of the act or omission, but this does.
No, no, because over here under Section 3 and sub 4, knowledge of conduct constitutes an offense, or knowledge of the existence of the application of the statute defining an offense is not an element unless the statute clearly so provides. We just put it in a different place under construction of statute.
I'm confused. Did you say that it presently is unlawful? If the person is unaware that it's unlawful, still annoying with Mr. Trump.
Sure, because he knows what his conduct is.
There's a statute prohibiting it.
Well, then I would think that this does change everything.
Well,
this means it does have to go.
Oh, no.
So, that's.
No, and then it means that he knows that his conduct is that type defined in the statute.
I don't think it says that. And furthermore, then we go on to specifically spell the same thing out that you're finding out in that definition, John, that knowledge of the existence of the statute is not a requirement. I don't think John can cover
that. Knowing the established expected conduct or the circumstance described by a statute defined in person. This person has, with an awareness of his conduct, is of that nature. The conduct is of a nature described by a standard defined. But you're not defined that we have, that I have to be aware that what I'm doing is of a nature defined by a criminal statute. Are you?
No.
Just that I know what I'm doing.
And you know that you're doing something that is going to cause the result that's described in the statute.
Why are you saying, knowingly means acting with an awareness the fact, which is it.
That knowingly means the person acts with awareness that his conduct is of a nature or a circumstance.
Do it again, Dan.
Knowing and open knowledge means that a person acts with awareness that his conduct is of a nature or circumstance described by a statute defining the crime.
His conduct isn't a circumstance.
Well, I could easily do away with this.
Well,
his conduct is of a nature described by a statute defining the crime.
When you left out circumstances entirely.
No, knowingly or knowledge means that a person has, well, in
a circumstance could be that there's stolen property would be a circumstance, I think. Receiving stolen property. That's a circumstance of the crime. Back to the conduct on that particular crime, the conduct would be receiving it in some way.
Finally, what you think about it, John, like they do, is say, knowing the form of knowledge means that a person has. With awareness of the nature of the conduct.
Why did you oversimplify it, John? You can knowingly do something and be aware of your conduct, but it might not be knowingly and within the framework of a criminal statute. Because these are my words that I'm defending.
Well, you've got some fairly substantial authority to back you up.
But I think it has to be related to a statute. I think that there are probably, you know, we could restate these things in a number of different ways, but I think the clarity sometimes has to have something. read it. But in order to clarify what you're reading, for example, I think it would be extremely nebulous to say his conduct is of a nature. I don't think that would come to at all. You got to know what nature. The nature that defines and describes in the text. That's what I mean.
Well, could I suggest I find it hard to take issue with you. I think maybe that it will fall in the line for us, maybe a little better if we can see through some perspective. But I think we're just going to be interpreting from the human perspective of the thinking, knowing, and recognizing some of the management. And that perhaps if we, I've read all these definitions, and I've looked at Michigan, New York, and Law School of Thrones, and also what Courtney said, and what we discussed, and I think we're probably not gone that far apart. So why don't we go over to section 2 on page 4?
Well, let me just read my last thought before I split away from me. I wonder how it would be to say that knowing, my heart was knowledge.
Can you take it down?
Comma, with respect to conduct, or when used with respect to conduct, or to a circumstance described by a statute defining a crime, means that a person acts with awareness that his conduct is of the nature so described, or that the circumstances so described exist.
Knowingly or with knowledge, comma, when used
with respect
to conduct or to a circumstance defined or described by a statute defining a crime, comma,
means
a person acts with an awareness that his conduct is of a nature so described, or that a circumstance so described exists.
Yeah. See, the meaning is a little clearer that way.
How about that?
Well, I wouldn't think that, because I don't think it changes.
Not one. I didn't mean to change that one iota, but I
just know what you're thinking. Sure, I got more than that.
I've had a hell of a time figuring out what that meant in reading.
I think you could use that same in all
of them. Well, yeah. In fact, I'd recommend if you're going to do it with one, you'll do it with all of them.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, can we do this? Can we have a motion to amend to provide the ability to follow voluntary actions and bodily movements performed consciously and include the concentration or control of property? And also a motion to amend freely and omitting the failure to perform an act, the performance of which is required by law. City. Mr. Foley, don't we amend it? All favors say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, no. Then we have a motion to approve sections 1 through 6 as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Now we approve the first 6 subsections. If it's a wish to incorporate your suggestion as before and have it applied to 7, 8, 9, and 10.
That's my suggestion.
Well, then, just put that in form of a motion. And, this is all we need that section 7, 8, 9, and 10, the amendment to incorporate the change in language punctuation as included in the signing of section 7. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And then just to explain to you that we accept section 7 through 10 amendments. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Now, sorry about that. My thing, I don't think short of any of that point is the second thing that
now we're going.
Now we're on two. Mm-hmm. Now we're on section two. And this, I think, will be the preliminary draft number three, and we'll have to review it. I think that this is a vehicle that I think that we should be on. Do you have anything particular you want to say that you've got to include on?
No, I said about, I have to say about the commentary here that subsection 2, I just want to quote again, it's a restatement. Now, it's probably the biggest change I made. Now, with respect to that provision, preliminary draft number 1, I was trying to simplify it. Now, section 1 of preliminary draft
well, section 4 of
yeah, this is a restatement of section 1.
And this is a rather radical departure from the recitation that will be in preliminary draft number 1, isn't it?
Well, not really, because Courtney said he's not guilty of a crime unless he acts either intentionally or recklessly or with criminal negligence with respect to the conduct, the result thereof, or the intended circumstances which constitute the material element of the crime. Now, this language I reduce says he's not guilty unless he acts with a culpable mental state, which would encompass all of those things that he set out, intentionally, recklessly, etc. And then, with respect to what? In my draft, I've got respect to the material element of the crime, rather than saying the conduct result which can constitute the material element.
Is that good?
Well, I'm saying that I'm using the terminology culpable mental state rather than repeating all of these culpabilities.
Right. This is preferable.
I've done that, and then I said with respect to each material element of the crime rather than with respect to the conduct, the result, or the intended circumstances. It does constitute the material element.
The minimal requirement for criminal liability is the performance by a person of conduct which includes a voluntary act or the omission to perform an act which he is physically capable of performing. Now,
why do we keep the word physical?
That is my question. Don't you get into a hang up there in the insanity cases? You know, I might be physically capable, but don't not otherwise have the confidence.
You know, of course, insanity would be a
yeah. Yeah, but it would be something that would if I was a defense attorney, I'd require Anyway, I require that the statute be read to the jury in the instruction, and it's confusing for me.
Yeah, don't you think your whole thought without the word physical? And if you don't use it, you eliminate the possibility of an argument about what you're talking about.
We're saying he's got to be able to do it physically. In other words, if you're locked up somewhere, you know,
then he isn't capable of doing it.
By the person of conduct, which includes a voluntary act or the omission to perform an act.
We've already said, this is the performance of by a person, which is the physical
voluntary before the word omission, as we have before the word act.
Well, no, New York commentary says it also excludes any omission to perform an act or duty which one is physically incapable of performing, such as the failure of an incarcerated person to respond to legal process or a judicial order directing his court appearance.
Well, he's not only physically, he's legally incapable.
He's just found incapable.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean,
I don't think it's that different. I think it comes under the category of tinkering myself. I mean, that's my own.
That's our job, though, isn't it? Tinkering?
Right.
What are we here for? Are we going to accept them?
Well, now, didn't you have a question, Bruce, with regard to the use of the word voluntary in front of act and not in front of the meeting?
Yeah. It's a glaring omission to have one place to mention it. I realize that it relates back to the definition.
Could we put that voluntary instead right before or after omission, say the omission to perform a voluntary act?
Because to act means omission. Well, I got it. The minimum requirement for criminal liability is the performance by the person of conduct. Conduct means an act or omission.
Yeah.
So, it's a performance by a person of conduct. Well, since conduct includes act or omission, why do we need the rest of the sentence, which includes voluntary act or the omission to perform an act? The voluntary performance by a person of conduct, he is capable of performing.
Mm-hmm.
Read that again for them to get it. The minimum requirement for criminal liability is the voluntary performance by a person of conduct, he is capable of performing. Don't like that.
No.
Okay. Well, one thing we use voluntary act as a term we define.
Right, that's right.
Then you're taking voluntary and using it to modify performance rather than act.
Well, we define voluntary act, but we didn't define voluntary omission. Did we?
Right.
maybe we should have just defined act and omission, and then add a separate definition of voluntary.
What are the steps we want to do?
Yep. If you envision any problem, Don, by having voluntary modify act and not omission.
In the way we have it now?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
And that is because of your use of these other words that would be equivocally capable of the word, isn't it? Well,
I was in jail. I was thrown in. I was
what do you mean?
got in his car wreck. He got a bump on the head, and I walked away from the scene of the accident and committed a hit and run felony. And while I was physically capable of reporting it,
I wasn't mentally capable. Well, not because of insanity, but because like, I look like insane.
Right. I wasn't capable of doing it now. He was physically capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Therefore, you have to find him guilty.
You know, I was trying to get the jury to go for it, but at the same time, I think we ought to say what he means.
I think so. Okay, I know the new strike physically. All in favor say
aye.
In subsection 2, except as provided in sub 3, a person is not guilty of a crime unless he acts with culpable knowledge with respect to each material element of the crime. Now, before we discuss it, let's look at 3. A culpable knowledge is not required for an offense that is a violation or a suspected fighting crime clearly indicates the legislative intent to dispense with any culpable mental state. Hey, Fire, what are you talking about there, Don? Is there liability situation? Are we going to do anything wrong?
I don't know.
Not the plan. Well, a violation. Are you getting hung up? The city ordinance is here. What are you talking about, violation?
Violation was defined in classes of crime. Misdemeanor, petty misdemeanor.
I think there should be a criminal intent required for misdemeanor.
Right.
It's not required for an offense, it's a violation.
Yeah, but a violation is not a misdemeanor, it's a violation.
You mean by it's supposed to be a stop sign?
Well, it could be. A violation, the way it was defined in classes of crime, included, I mean, it was limited to, offenses that weren't punishable by imprisonment. If the violation so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if no sentence of imprisonment is authorized, or if the offense is defined by any statute of the state as not constituting a crime. So in those cases, we're saying that you don't need a culpable
mental. We're saying that you don't need a culpable mental state where there is no imprisonment provided by statute.
Well, I don't think that's right.
That isn't all we're saying, but we aren't saying that.
We're saying that.
Well, I wouldn't go for that as statutes may be made to apply to corporations. Maybe a very serious crime. If you can't find anybody to put them in jail, that's what you can't provide for. A jail sentence against the
person. Right, and we need to touch this definition of the person.
By the way, you wouldn't want to say.
Well, but,
you're saying that it wouldn't be fair to the corporation.
That's right. To convict them of a serious thing where you're going to give $100,000 fine. Unless there is a culpable mental state involved.
Perhaps the system. Well, we have lots of misdemeanors now that don't carry a death sentence that require culpability in the draft. And it's probably so.
And of course, on the other hand, we have.
But that's consistent with this, isn't it?
No.
Why is it?
That culpable mental state isn't required. If it's a violation, that is, it doesn't carry a jail sentence. But now we have misdemeanors that carry jail sentences, and they also require an arrest. And so
we're not changing that. We wouldn't change that.
We wouldn't.
No, but it'd still be a crime. A misdemeanor is a crime. There are classification of offense.
All right.
If the violation isn't a crime.
Or if the statute defines crime clearly indicates the legislative intent against the most culpable real estate requirement.
That's sort of a caveat that's in there, just to, for future legislation.
You know, you can't very well define it firmly. And have a statute that says that when you lay out the income system, wouldn't
it? Well, I remember when I was in prosecutor, I don't know if it still exists, but there was a criminal statute that we prosecuted our sheriff on there that made it time for him to sale to account for the dough. It didn't matter whether somebody stole it or what happened to it.
Okay.
I remember Officer Hayter defending that and said the law of the man. If that is the law, I'm sorry, tell us it wasn't.
Boy, this is the thing that Bill Langley was kicked out of the VA's office.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's turning the subject to the prosecution and either.
Straight on the prosecution.
All right, so maybe this is simply a boilerplate statute that we have to read in.
Yeah, to take care of what there might be.
Well, that's what I thought. The guy had something in there that gives the legislature an out. Later on, there's some statute that on pass that they don't have to go back and amend the whole criminal code to do it.
All right. So let's go back to and approach the question that Bruce raised some time ago concerning this requirement that you have a culpable mental state with respect to each material element of the crime, from beginning to venue and the way you want to want all your drunk driving cases in front of Ray Shoemaker and him being down through the third of Mohawk County. 50% of the time you win and you had, and 50% of the time you lose when you have it. But how do we go to that problem?
Well, I think it's a good criticism. I was trying to stay away from defining material elements.
Well, you,
that's what we got on up the last meeting. You had what the material elements, I think that Bruce suggested
a
good
one. You had a suggested amendment to it.
Well, I wasn't meaning to suggest an amendment. I was in a roundabout way saying what I thought he meant to say.
Yeah, you would give it that way if you can't say
anything. Well, let's see what it is. Except as provided in section 2 of this section, a person is not a crime unless he acts with a culpable mental state with respect to each material element of the crime to which a mental state is material.
That is kind of round that way.
But that's what I said, and I wasn't trying to offer that as a model.
Now you understand, Doug, that in order to prove a crime, the district attorney has to take the language of the statute and the jurisdictional requirements and everything else that is, well, jurisdiction and venue where the crime occurred. And then, burglary is to prove that the defendant is guilty of breaking and entering a dwelling house of another in the nighttime with intent to commit a crime, felony therein, and that the crime occurred in Multnomah County, Oregon. Right. Those are the six material elements of the crime of burglary. What we're saying, of course, is that mens rea or culpability isn't necessary insofar as the fact that the crime occurred in Multnomah County, Oregon.
Or that the thing was a building.
Or that it's a building thing. Or that it belonged to another. Or that it was in the nighttime. Mens rea, the culpability applies to the breaking and entering, you see. Now, and so I think, So I think there's a legitimate objection here, and would it be appropriate perhaps to let Don note the objection that we have and suggest that he...
Would we say at all if we get a period after culpable mental state?
Except it provides that the person is not really tired unless he has with a culpable mental state. With a culpable mental state with respect to what?
With respect to the conduct described by the statute. His conduct is you must have a culpable mental state. And the building and your burglary jacket isn't his conduct. The fact that it was at night isn't his conduct. As his conduct defined by the statute as criminal, which the culpable mental state must pertain to. And so unless he acts with a culpable, and with a culpable mental state with respect to the conduct described by the statute defining a crime.
Except it provides that they can say that a person is not guilty of crime a person must ask. The act of conduct must include a culpable mental state.
Well, I think I've got a sense of what he wants on this. I could, you might come up with
language.
Can you draft alternatives or something? Well, let's see quickly if we can get up to section 3. We're not going to get to intoxication, apparently.
I'm going to really have to go.
Do you have to go? Okay. Okay, well, we're going to have to go over it again. However, I think in fairness, you can cut that.